Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you are all well, and you and your families are staying well, both physically and mentally in these challenging times. We will call this meeting to order. Due to the circumstances of the COVID-19 pandemic and pursuant to Governor Pritzker's Executive Order 2020-07, issued on March 16, 2020, suspending the Open Meetings Act provisions relating to in-person attendance by members of a public body, the July 27, 2020 special meeting of the Chicago State University Board of Trustees is being conducted virtually and is hereby called to order. Ms. Phillips, will you please call the roll? Bonnie?
Clay?
Can you call the roll?
Trustee Clay?
Present.
Trustee McDade?
Present.
Trustee Snyder?
Present.
Trustee Zoff?
Present. The quorum exists for business of the board to begin. Ms. Phillips, will you certify that the notice for this meeting has been given pursuant to the requirements of the Open Meetings Act?
Yes, Chair, the meeting notice requirement has been met. Notices were posted 48 hours before this meeting.
Thank you. We need to approve the agenda. Are there any comments or corrections to the agenda? If not, all in favor of the agenda, please, approving the agenda, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The ayes have it. Right. We are now going to move into public comments. The board will not hear presentations or entertain questions on the following topics: issues under negotiation as part of the university's collective bargaining process, statements concerning the private activities, lifestyles, or beliefs of individuals associated with the university, grievances of individual students or employees on any person of any personal matters. Ms. Phillips, will you please call those who've signed up for public comment?
Alan Walker. Anita Holmes.
Well, Bonnie, hold on one second. Is Mr. Walker on the call? Do you know?
He is on the call.
All right. Can you give him a chance to unmute and open up if he has something to, if he wants to make his comments?
Yes.
Walker? Mark need to unmute him?
Yes, Mark, you have him unmuted.
I've unmuted him. I've got it covered in the background as you call the name.
Okay.
He is unmuted.
Mr. Walker, do you want to proceed?
Mr. Walker, you're self-muted. If you want to speak, you need to unmute.
All right, we'll go on. We'll come back to Mr. Walker before we close out and see if he can unmute himself if he wants to speak. Okay, Bonnie, go ahead.
Anita Holmes, please unmute yourself if you want to speak.
Good afternoon. Am I unmuted?
We can hear you, Ms. Holmes. Okay. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, all. I want to the record to reflect that I love my mother's alma mater, soon to be mine. And 10 years or 20 years from now, I want the school to still be standing and educating students from all across the world. Growing up, I was taught that if everyone on your team that you built agrees with you all the time and never objects, you have a weak team and possibly a weak outcome. Over the last couple of months, I've had my friends and colleagues reach out asking about CSU. I cringe to myself and then encourage them to come or send their children, especially with the pandemic going on. A lot of parents are concerned about their children going far away from home, so they want them to stick close. So Chicago State is a great school. But what concerns me or puts me on edge is that I will get that phone call, text, or email have a face-to-face conversation about why I didn't warn them about CSU issues. I never want to happen to any other student what just happened to the baseball team. I had to hear them talk about the sleepless nights and scramble to put their lives back together because no one considered how it would affect them, especially two people I thought would have considered them, Trustee Clay, and who's a life supporter, and Trustee McDade, you over CPS schools. The students feel like they have no recourse. And if it affected any of your children, you would have expostulated. I want to keep reiterating communication and reiterating the importance for transparency, accountability, and ethical practices. I would like to ask that today, according to your agenda, that you table or delay your votes today on resolutions that deal with tuition and budgets until we get a trustee in place. It is an infringement on our rights as students, members of the student body, not having a representative in place. Also, we are the only state school that did not do a proper student election. So the last election, which was held, should be considered to keep the same trustee in place to ensure that we have representation. Proper representation, as our accrediting agency, HLC, requires us to have. The last trustee should remain until the next June, at least to cover the university so we can stay in compliance. We tend to move or not communicate on student issues, but move quickly on hiring, firing, and spending budgets. One thing I must say is you did not cause the pandemic, but we all can make better decisions on how we work through them. That's all we ask as a student body. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Holmes.
Deborah,
okay. You can call the next one. Also, can we just be clear that every speaker has 2 minutes? And Ms. Phillips, I'd ask you to let us know when those 2 minutes are up, please.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Deborah Lynch. You have to unmute if you want to speak.
I didn't sign up for public participation. I just signed up to participate in the meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Lynch.
Dr. Potlori.
I just registered. Listen, I didn't ask for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Patricia Steinhaus.
Did you hear me?
No.
Okay. I signed up to attend, but not to speak.
Okay. Thank you,
Ms. Steinhaus.
Chair, the rest of the folks on here are employees. Is there anyone that wanted to speak?
Bonnie, do you want to go back and see if Mr. Walker can unmute himself if he wanted to say something? If not, we'll move on.
Okay. Mr. Walker? Alan Walker, you have to unmute yourself to speak.
Okay.
I think that was the last person.
Okay. All right. Then now we're going to move to the action items. And the first set is in academic affairs, and Trustee McDade is going to preside over those action items, and I will turn it over to her.
Thank you, Chair Zopp. I would like to call on Dr. Roundtree to present the resolutions.
Good afternoon, trustees. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to start today with a tenure resolution. We are bringing, we have recently appointed Dr. Stephen Rowe as the dean of the college of our Honors College. He has submitted the necessary materials for consideration for rank and tenure. He has, you have his CV and a summary of some of his details. He is a professor of history with a focus in migration and labor, as well as has an extensive history of teaching as well as service. So his materials were presented to the department as well as to the college for approval. And so we would like to request that Dr. Stephen Rowe receive tenure as a professor in the Department of Geography, Sociology, History, Anthropology, and African American Studies, where he would be a professor of history. Any questions?
Are there any questions or comments from other trustees? Hearing none, I'd like to move to approve the tenure resolution. Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Phillips, can you please call the roll?
Trustee Clay?
Yes.
Trustee McDade?
Yes.
Trustee Snyder?
Yes.
Trustee Zott?
Yes.
Dr. Roundtree, would you please move forward with the waiver of GRE and GMAT testing for graduate admissions resolution?
Yes. We are requesting a temporary waiver for the admission standards of the graduate record exam and the graduate management admission exam, which is a requirement for admission to at least two or three of our current graduate programs. As you may be aware, the testing centers were closed initially due to the pandemic, and they have only briefly reopened. And in that reopening, there is such a backlog that students are not able to take their admissions testing. The priority in most of the testing centers are for graduates and licensing and other types of examinations. Therefore, we have asked that we temporarily, for the fall of 20, allow admission without the current, with a waiver of the GMAT or the GRE scoring. All other admission criteria would stay the same, including GPA recommendations or any prerequisite courses. This resolution has been sent forward to the Faculty Senate, and who has reviewed it as well. And we would ask that we are able to do this temporary waiver to ensure that students can continue with their request to be admitted to CSU.
Are there any questions or comments from other trustees? Hearing none, I move to approve the waiver of GRE and GMAT testing for graduate admissions resolution. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor of approving the waiver of GRE and GMAT testing for graduate admissions resolution, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Dr. Roundtree, would you please move forward with the College of Education tuition resolution?
Yes. The College of Education is requesting to provide a discount tuition for three programs: bilingual education, special education, and early childhood endorsements. Endorsement programs are for teachers who already have a license to teach who are now interested in moving into another specialty area. This endorsement of these programs, we have had the special ed endorsement in place under this discount for over a year, about 2 years now. We're requesting to move this forward, including other high need programs, which is bilingual and early childhood, and to make it an open opportunity for teachers within CPS, as well as other educational districts in the state of Illinois. We would be joining a group of many schools who have created this opportunity in order to fill the high need positions that are currently vacant in those three specialty areas. It would mean a change in the tuition from approximately $325 or $337 to $227.
Thank you, Dr. Roundtree. Are there any questions or comments from other trustees?
What is the projected financial consequence of the reduction in tuition?
Given that these courses are also the same courses that students in the master's program take, we project that it could be as small as a couple of thousands of dollars and no more than $20,000 if a large group joined that class. We have had over 70 students in this program in special ed, and they are joining a course that is already in existence. So it does not have a major impact on the revenue loss. They do, though, however, continue to pay fees, any mandatory fees that are connected to their programs.
And when we, this is Larry Owens, and when we say it has little effect on the revenue loss, I think what you also want to add is that given that they're coming into classes already established, actually the tuition, the new tuition is incremental revenue that we normally would not have with the seat being empty.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Are there any additional questions or comments from any other trustees? Hearing none, I move to approve the waiver of College of Education tuition resolution. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor of approving the College of Education tuition resolution, please respond by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. At this time, Dr. Roundtree, would you please present the International Student Tuition Resolution?
Yes. Again, this resolution is a temporary request for the upcoming 2021 year. As you may be aware, it is very difficult for international students to currently to get visas to enter into our country. And unfortunately for many of them, their embassies are closed in their own countries to even start the process. So in order to address the needs of international students who are interested in starting the programs at Chicago State University, we would like to offer that any student entering for 2021 would be able to receive our domestic tuition rates versus our international tuition rates, because we believe that some of these students would like to start the program in fall remotely. However, and which is possible for a short period of time, which would allow them longer periods to address the visa issues. And we believe that since they are not able to come to campus and take full advantage of the resources of entering the United States and the campus, that addressing their needs for a reduced tuition would be an option to begin to allow them to start their studies.
Thank you, Dr. Roundtree. Are there any questions or comments from trustees?
Again, I would ask what the financial consequence of this is. And this is the first time we've been briefed on this proposal, isn't it?
Correct. This was after discussing with our graduate dean, many of the responses we're getting from our international students, we felt there was a need to address their concerns. Many of them are deferring their admissions in order because of the lack of the visa or the ability to obtain a visa. In discussing with our Office of Global Engagement, it appears that the visa issue is not going to let up for the fall. So we wanted to move forward. We believe, I'm trying to pull it up.
And while you're trying to pull something up, let me try to assist you. And Trustee Snyder, you're right, since this was something that just came up, I tried to take a quick look at it this morning before the meeting. And based on my discussion with the graduate dean, he's estimating there have been 18 students admitted for the fall. So I'm going to use 12 as possibly coming. And he's estimating there might be 15 that would come in the spring. So based on that, we have a reduction of $305 per credit hour. And based on the standard 9 credit hours, what I estimate, it would be approximately 33,000 impact from the fall, and then the spring, 41,000. So for the entire year, taking the fall double, that would be an impact of approximately 107,000 in reduced tuition.
And would this apply whether or not the students are in the United States or unable to travel to the United States because of the visa restrictions?
It would only apply to, yes, the new students who are coming for this fall, not our continuing students.
Now, the question was whether it would apply to students who are present in the United States as opposed to those who are unable to come to the United States.
If they are,
in other words, if somebody's already in the United States and intending to enroll at the university, are they receiving the benefit of this discount? Or does it only apply to those who are unable because of the visa restrictions to enter the United States and to be, you know, present on campus?
Our goal is for new students. It would apply if they were new to us, a new transfer student, even if they were in the United States, it would apply to them, but it would not apply to our continuing students.
Are there any other questions or comments from other trustees? Hearing none, I move to approve the international student tuition resolution. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor of approving the international student tuition resolution, please respond by saying aye.
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 Aye. All opposed?
Nay.
The ayes have it. Chair Zopp, this ends the academic and student affairs action items.
Okay.
Oops. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee McDade. Trustee Schneider, we want to move on to the finance and audit action items.
Sure. Larry Owens will present the fiscal year 2021 mandatory fees resolution, please.
Thank you, Trustee Snyder. For the upcoming fall, in terms of the mandatory fee changes, we are requesting that given that we transition to e-learning format in approximately March due to the pandemic, and as we continue on into the fall, we took a review of the fees that were slated to be charged, and we did an analysis, and we are recommending for full-time students an increase of two fees, but the decrease in three fees for a net change of $80.50 mandatory fees. And for part-time students, an increase in two fees and a decrease in five of the fees for a net decrease of $137 in mandatory fees. The financial impact of these fees, based on our budgeted student enrollment for the fall, would be 102,000 for full-time students decreased and 191,000 for the part-time students, for a total potential impact of 293,000 in reduced fees. Obviously, our concern here was not only to fully represent the benefits that the students would get from the new learning environment of partially e-learning and partially on-site, but also the increased fees for the items such as the grant and aid fees and the IT fees, which were the two fees to be increased. So as a result, we are asking that the board will approve this resolution to decrease the mandatory fees by the amount of $80.50 for full-time students and $137 for part-time students.
Are there any questions or comments from other trustees? I move to approve the fiscal year 2021 mandatory fees resolution. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor of approving the mandatory fees resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. The ayes have it. Next, Mark Lass will present the Information Technology Contract Resolution for Campus Network Security and Data Center Enhancements.
Good afternoon, members of the board. Currently, our campus network is approximately 9 years old, and we're about 50% of it is end of life, and the remaining equipment will be end of life in January of 2021. Essentially, what that means is that our equipment is very old, and as of January of 2021, we'll no longer be able to purchase support from the manufacturer. We are in dire need of replacing this equipment. Our campus network, which runs all computer operations on campus, both administrative and academic. At the same time, we are also proposing to acquire additional security equipment. It is called a Security Incident Event Management Platform. It's called a SIM. This allows us to aggregate and track logs and movement of individuals across our network throughout the campus. This is a key feature of all computer security platforms moving forward, and it's increasingly in demand from auditors for compliance purposes. Over the last several years, we've made a significant investment in a vendor called Fortinet, and we're proposing to purchase our campus network from Fortinet, as well as our SIM. All of the Fortinet equipment we're proposing to purchase would also integrate with existing Fortinet equipment, which includes our campus wireless, antivirus, firewalls, etc. There's a unique feature of Fortinet called Security Fabric, which allows all these different components to interact with each other to provide a best-in-class advanced layer of security that very few vendors are able to match. So we're proposing to replace the campus network as well as implement this security device. The total cost of the project is $552,807.30. It would be spread out over 5 years on a lease. And we're recommending approval for $575,000 so as to ensure that we don't exceed and provide a little buffer.
Are there questions from other trustees?
We had several questions at the briefing that yes. I'm not sure you answered. So question number one was, did you comply with the procurement procedures that you're supposed to, you said you did some stuff. That doesn't tell me whether or not that's what you were supposed to do and you've met all the procurement requirements that you were supposed to meet. So that's question number one.
Okay. Yeah, so we have met all the requirements for the state of Illinois for procurement purposes, and we're working specifically with IPEC vendors, that's the Illinois Public Higher Education Cooperative. So we are sourcing these products through approved vendors, following all the state rules around ethics and compliance. We had some additional elements in this proposal originally, pursuant to our conversation last week, we pulled out and we're going to source through a different vendor so we can better achieve some of the diversity goals that we discussed.
What are the diversity goals, if any, being achieved with the spend you want us to approve today? Which is, I have to go back and look at the document. Lost it. I believe a total of $552,000. So is there any diverse benefits? If there's not, there's not.
There is not at this time.
Okay, and that's because this is a sole source contract or you have to buy it from a longstanding vendor?
We have to purchase it through a VAR, a value-added reseller, like a CDW or Carisoft. These are partners with the state. And these are essentially commodities that we're buying from large organizations. There isn't a way to really source them through the state procurement system through a minority partner at this time.
And then what about the, just for the equipment, right? And then the maintenance, there's like $100,000 of maintenance. Who's doing that?
Yeah, so the hardware are the commodities that are being sourced directly through Fortinet, which is about $347,000 of this deal. Almost $41,500 of the deal is software. This is also Fortinet provided software. And the maintenance is actually maintenance on all the equipment that is provided by the manufacturer. So that spend stays with Fortinet as well, because they provide the maintenance over 5 years for all of this equipment and software.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Training is provided free. And then there's some slight shipping costs.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. All right, and then you said there's some, you said that there's that there's another portion of this that you took out that you're looking to increase the spend with diverse suppliers. Is that, did I understand that correctly?
That is correct. We did pull out some things that we originally wanted to propose because we are able to source that through a diversity partner. So we're in the process of updating, you know, paperwork documentation and making that happen.
And am I correct that that was about $250,000?
It was about $150,000. That was originally, I think we had sourced it through Dell for some services and hardware, and we're gonna source it through a partner.
Okay.
That meets diversity requirements.
Got it. Okay, that answers my questions.